brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's because there's nothing else on at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Theoretically.
You need to invest in Netflix, man. It's always something good on.
Like you invest in it. You're still using your mom's passcode, please.
Please, man. Ex-girlfriends.
No, who am I kidding? Yeah, I was going to say it's the ex-girlfriend knowing him. Thank God that dingy broad never changed it.
I set up her router. I still steal.
She doesn't know how to fix it. So, yeah, it'll probably last you the next 25 years. Well, this is Made Man Bob. And joining me today are good old gal Denise.
Good morning, everyone. Excited to drink some nice wines this morning.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Excited to be here in the damp, dark basement on a beautiful sunny day in quarantine.
It's not a basement. It's a cellar. And it's where we keep wine, and it's classy.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's not very classy.
A basement's where you keep MREs and piles of ammo stockpiling for the end of the world.
And the body stuff.
I don't let you in that room.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to say, we're not in that room.
Yeah. You're not allowed in that room. And good old boy Army.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate having the opportunity to taste wine like I never do that.
Yeah, this is new for you, isn't
it? Something new.
Yeah, well, thank God. You know, maybe he'll learn to actually taste some wine for once in his life.
When are you gentlemen going to shave?
Where's the Thunderbird?
I was thinking about hiring a barber for Harmeet. Either that or letting him borrow one of your ponytail holders.
What were you expecting? Thunderbird?
That's right. There's your Thunderbird.
I'm doing my COVID haircut. I'm going to try the Justin Trudeau thing. Let's let it go.
Justin Trudeau.
Looks to me like you've been trying the
ceiling fan. I ate Justin Trudeau.
You've been doing a ceiling fan on high haircut lately. So. You remember Gallagher used to say, never let your mom comb your hair when she's mad at your dad? Yeah, that's what you got. All right. Well, Maury and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and interested professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 continents. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. We're also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, or at least hopefully when we get through all this and they start having them again, you can visit them at ftlws.com. And we are also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Animatic Machine, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at finespirits.net or on Facebook at
Facebook.com/Fine Spirits.
Thank you, Don Pardo.
Also, Instagram. You go do the Instagram. I do the Twitter. It's all Fine Spirits. Except Twitter is Fine Spirits_FL.
So long as you don't go TikTok, then you're fine.
No, we don't do TikTok. I can't do that.
Snapchat.
No, sorry.
No. I mean, usually most people find him on Grindr, but you know.
That's true.
Well, our sip segments are all about
wine.
My
wife doesn't know about the grinder, man. Come on.
She does now.
Wife? You mean beard.
Beard.
Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else that you can drink. And today's show is a range of wines from Clos du Vall, Chapter 24 Vineyards, Killikanoon, and the Pump Jack Group. And here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the Don Melchor 2017. We have Chapter 24 Vineyards The Flood, 2017 Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. We have the Killikanoon Covenant Shiraz, 2013. We have the Plump Jack Merlot. I don't know what year that is. No. We have the Odette Estate Adaptation 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. And we have the Cade Howell Mountain Cabernet 2017, which is obviously going to be the best wine in the entire group just simply by the fact of its name.
Name. On Bob's Mountain.
Bob's Mountain.
I'm like a...
But there's no Clos de Vaux here, dude. You said Clos de Vaux earlier. Looks like you need to update your script.
Did I say Clos de Vaux?
You did.
You did.
Oh, I messed up.
And we need to get on a bump check.
That was the last one. Yeah, I don't have it.
It's on there. Give me the bottle.
Put on your glasses.
It's on the front there.
Let's see. No, it's not.
Yeah, it just says... Actually, it's very hard to find.
It says Plump Jack, Merlot.
Show me the bottle.
Show me the money, Harm.
Hand it over. You don't even have your glasses on,
I don't have my glasses on. It's very hard to read. So under the word Merlot, it's 2018. I'm guessing that means 2018.
Probably not.
Super hard to read. Plump Jack likes to hide that information.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, make it where you can't read it. That's
doesn't matter. They say it doesn't matter because the wine's good no matter
what. Well, I don't really give a dang. Okay. Yeah, all I care about is I'm drinking it. So that's the most important part.
Literally, the wine was delivered to the store like last week. So
okay.
And Fine Spirits proudly put it on their label so that we know.
And you brought one.
I only brought one for you. I've got a bunch.
Yeah, well, I don't care about you. See, it's all about you.
Check so those I read it off the back one. I didn't read it on the front. So on the back, you can read it on the back where my barcode is, too.
Well, all right. So we're going to have Maury tell us all about our SIPs ratings.
Thank you, Bob. These are our signature SIPs ratings.
You're welcome.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Hold on. I'm not ready.
We went down a rabbit hole earlier. Come on.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
We do have an Australian. It should be more like, nice!
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Like Artie Wang?
Very interesting. Four sips. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That was his sexy voice, in case you didn't know that, Denise.
Good to know.
Yeah. Might want to make a note of that.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
No. I'm sorry. I'm not a woman, but my vagina just dried up.
What?
I can't even touch that.
Okay, Nancy.
You're not allowed to.
Oh.
Did he go there? Yes, he went there.
Oh, that went in another direction very quickly.
Okay, then. It's like a bad Joan Rivers joke. Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about our first wine.
Yeah, please.
The first wine is from Don Melchor. Don Melchor is a legacy wine from Chile. First created in 1987 by the Gulasasti family of Concha y Toro and named for their forefather in Chilean wine. Don Melchor represents a singular expression of the Puente Alto vineyard in the upper Maipo Valley, overseen by winemaker Enrique Tirado since 1995. The seven parcels of Don Melchor are harvested independently to support over 150 micro vinifications in the cellar, each of them tasted and selected for final composition. The second vintage of Don Melchor in 1988 was the first Chilean wine to be named Wine Spectator's Top 100 Wines of the World, where it has since placed nine times, including three placements in the top 10. The first wine is the Don Melchor 2017. It's 98% Cabernet Sauvignon, 2% Cabernet Franc, and comes in at 14.5% ABV. It spent 15 months in French oak barrels, 67% of which were new and 33% were second use. It has a MSRP of $120. It was given a Wine Enthusiast rating of 95, Wine Spectator rating of 95, and James Suckling gave it a whopping 99 points. This is really a beautiful wine. The color is deep garnet. On the nose, there's definitely lots of fruit, black currants among other dark fruits, and definitely a hint of crushed stone. On the palate, lots of cherry, currant, notes of cocoa. There's definitely cedar, earthy tannins, and a hint of pepper. It's got a beautiful mouth feel, nice viscosity. It's mouth coating. It has a beautiful long finish. Really an outstanding wine. My first sip, I wrote just three letters. Wow.
Wow.
What'd you think?
Well, it's hard to top wow, but I'll try. I really like the nose on this. The nose, and correct me if I'm wrong, or if you disagree, whetstone, salty, minerally.
It's, I definitely got all of those.
Got like an oceany vibe on the nose. Mm. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's really nice. I think you're right with the dark cherries, the pepper. That's what I get. Earth notes on the palate. Definitely peppery. Deep dark cherry. Beautiful mouthfeel. Nice big wine. I really like this wine. And Harmeet is still looking for the ocean. I'm in still his smelling. Glass.
No. Everything you said is absolutely spot on, Denise. That's
thank perfectly you,
said.
Harmeet.
Perfectly said. When it first was opened, I did get some black olive and some tar notes as well, but those have dissipated. The black olive is still there. Those minerally tar notes are going away. But it's when you say salty, like well, more
yeah,
stone.
Yeah, that's the olives. You're getting the brine. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then on the palate, it's quite different with the fruit coming up. The cherries and currants are really up there. And I got quite a bit of cedar on the palate as well. Just great wine. Bob? Mm. So I wait till you had some mouthful of wine.
Yeah, lovely. Think? Absolutely lovely. I totally get on the nose. I get that seaweed. Briny, right. Salty.
Maybe like capers where the olive and the salty sort of come in together.
Yeah, it's absolutely there on the nose. And on the palate, it's just it's cherries and currants and...
Earthy. And
yeah, it's got that stony, earthy kind of minerality to it. I mean, just absolutely a lovely wine. And we were fortunate enough to be invited to a dinner with one of the winemakers. And... got to try several of them, but this one was fantastic. Four sips.
That's classified.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the Don Melchor 2017. We gave that four sips. Stunning wine. Really, really great.
Very nice.
And I still remember that whole vertical that they poured for us at that dinner.
Was that 2 years ago? You're still talking about it?
No, it was... when was that? That was probably about seven, eight months ago, I think it was.
Yeah, about 8 months ago.
Yeah. Really, really nice.
Well, in COVID times, that's a decade ago.
Oh, in COVID times, that was, that was in the turn of the century. That was Victorian era. So we're going to be going on to our next wine now. We're going to have Denise tell us all about that one.
Great. So this is the Chapter 24 Vineyards The Flood, 2017 Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. 12 months and 100% French oak, 50% new. 13.5% ABV. It received 92 points from Wine Spectator, 92 points from Robert Parker, Wine Advocate, and the retail price is around $60. Founded in 2011, Chapter 24 Vineyards was named after the last chapter of Homer's epic poem, The Odyssey. This particular chapter was added long after Homer died. The Greeks continued the tale to satisfy themselves, despite the author thinking he was finished after Chapter 23. The mark of a great ending is not what it says about the past, but rather what it promises for the future. And Chapter 23 clearly raised more questions than it answered. In this same spirit, the story of Chapter 24's wines continues well past the cellar door. Winemaking is just the beginning of the story. The wine may be finished, but it is not the end. So this wine...
So profound.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
No, I didn't. I didn't buy it, but whatever. Yeah. Let's taste the wine.
Yeah.
It was just so poetic.
Marketing really. Stuff. Marketing stuff.
So,
what's in the glass?
This wine has a really vibrant purple or deep, deep garnet color. What I get on the nose, and I need to be very careful on how I describe this wine.
Why is it lewd?
No, not at all.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Okay. Now yeah. Tell me, I'm ready.
So yeah. I get.
Hold on.
Get your hands out of your pants.
Let me loosen my pants.
Oh, dear God.
And talk slow. Real slow. And sexy like.
What is everyone in the audience uncomfortable right now?
Well, no, at least there's a girl here for once. It's usually just us.
Well, maybe I shouldn't mention the barnyard animals then.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to do that in my description. Go ahead, anyway, here, very fruity, lots of black fruit. But interestingly enough, for a Pinot, I get a little barnyardy, musty.
Really?
Nose. Yeah,
right in the very tip.
Right in the tip. Right, and I'm thinking,
the very tip
oh, what's this just little barely. French sort of note that I'm getting?
Just barely.
Yeah.
It's there. You got to search for it. But now that you mention it, I didn't get it at first, I admit, but it's there.
I get roses and violets.
Mm.
That's that. Maybe that earthiness of the garden.
The violets are definitely there.
Hmm. It's not barnyard to me. It's more roses and violets. This is flowers.
But right on the back of the flowers, do you not get a little, just like a little musty? Well, no. That's what I get.
Yeah. Okay.
No, anyway, on the palate.
My nose probably isn't as sensitive as you.
No.
Women have more sensitive
noses. It's interesting because on the palate, I also get these really strong, earthy notes and dark cherries and dark fruits. And it's just, it's a very interesting Pinot. And I like Pinots, but this is a nicer full-bodied Pinot, and that's typically how I like them.
I thought the finish was a little short, though.
No one's going to make the dirty joke?
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't linger on the finish. That's true.
No. Okay. But I agree with everything you've said. I think you're spot on. I think it's super fruity on the nose. And I agree. The palate is a little bit more toned down on the fruits and a little more earthiness. And again, I would call it a relatively full-bodied Pinot that does not disappoint.
Definitely full-bodied. You're right on there.
Mm-hmm.
Harm.
And I like it.
What is there to say? This wine is beautiful. Well made, well structured. It's not your lighter style of Pinot. This is the fact this is Willamette Valley fruit is stunning to me because this is not as, to me, I didn't get the forest floor notes that I expect from Willamette Valley.
But I thought it was more of a California style Pinot.
Yeah, exactly. It's more California with all the fruit. But that earthiness that Denise was talking about, the barnyard quality to it, maybe that's where that earthiness is coming from Willamette. But to me, it's more floral. Lots of violets, lots of mushroom, lots of mushrooms, just a little tiny hint of mushroom, lots of roses, dark fruit, tons of dark fruit. It's just gorgeous. I enjoyed it. Bob?
What more can you say? I mean, it's a great Pinot. It's definitely on the nose. You get the violets, and I do get that sort of just that little bit of funk, that little bit of barnyard, that little bit of.
And it's got a great finish too. The acidity,
almost that Bordeaux-y kind of barnyard.
Yeah, it's just really surprising.
The very, very tip of the nose, and the palate's. I mean, it's got great structure to it.
I gotta say, it's one of the nicest Pinots I've had that I've never heard of before.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
It's got a fantastic. I mean, the acidity on it is perfect. I mean, it's got a great acidity. It's bright. It's fresh, but it's got some serious gravitas to it. I mean, it's well put together.
I mean, this could have easily gone towards a syrupy style, but it doesn't, which I really appreciate. Yeah.
No, Harmeet, I get more of that. That funk or that mustiness, when you just lift it, don't swirl it. When you swirl it, all of those floral notes come out.
Yep.
Okay. I'll give it
And
to
then
you
swirl it, and then you get an entirely different
sort of
nose.
An earthiness, a mushroomy.
It's really fun and interesting, right?
Absolutely right.
If you don't swirl it, you just lift it. It's there.
But just a little bit of a forest floral kind of.
It's really fun and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, they have another one. This is the Flood. that they do in vineyards that have all sedimentary soil. And then they have one called the fire that they do in their vineyards that have all volcanic soil. So they, I'd like to try the other one and you know, compare the two.
It'd be fun if we could compare them. That would be fun,
right?
Because this was a surprise.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a really fun surprise.
Thank you for sending us one.
Sell this in Florida? No salesperson's ever approached me with this.
Well, I mean, according to the website, there's only about 750 cases made. So I don't know how much of it makes it.
If you guys can find this, seek it out. This one is a hard one, hard to get.
Yeah. I mean, but a really, really lovely Pinot. And we're going to rate it 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to move on to our next wine, or we're going to have Harm tell us all about that one.
Killiecanoe and Covenant Shiraz from 2013 is a Clare Valley South Australian wine. 18 months in French oak barriques, 30% of which are new. Comes in at 14.5% ABV. The Wine Advocate from Robert Parker gave it 93 points. Spectator gave it 92, 91 from Enthusiast. It has a $37 retail. This wine is completely new to me. I don't think I've ever seen this in Florida, but now I may have to seek it out. Founded in 1997 by Kevin Mitchell, Killiecanoe is a boutique Clare Valley winery with an international reputation for producing regionally expressive terroir-driven wines. The Killiecanoe property, featuring a circa 1860s stone cottage housing Killiecanoe's tasting room, was originally settled by early English migrants, or prisoners as they called them.
Yes, prisoners.
Ex-prisoners, who named it after a historic old mansion in Cornwall. On purchasing the property in the, turn the page, 1990s, Kevin Mitchell inherited 30 years, a 30-year-old Shiraz, Cabernet and Grenache and Riesling vineyards, many of which were planted by his father, Mort, in the 1960s. The fruit for the Covenant Shiraz was handpicked from 6 dry-grown premium vineyards with an average vine age of 30 to 40 years, located in the Clare Valley. Traditional methods of vinification were used, with the fermentation taking place in small open-top fermenters, followed by gentle basket pressing. Okay, that's quite a bit of information there. Let's talk about the wine. First off, the color. This is an inky purple with violet edges. It is opaque as sin, dark like my heart. The nose.
You're not a lawyer.
No, but
So how dark can your heart be?
I divorced one. So
how dark can your heart really be?
I divorced one. She took it in the divorce.
You had to have had one first.
Yeah, anyway. The nose, it is gorgeous. So, to me, first thing I get is like this smoky mineral nose. There's a little tar, a little cedar. It's savory. There's black fruit. It's just their tasting note that they mentioned on their website, I think, says subtle charry notes. There's nothing subtle about this at all. It's there. It's big. It's quite good. There's a little pencil lead coming out as well. On the palate, dark fruit, cherries, lots of cherry, a little bit of blueberry. There's a spice underneath I just haven't identified, and you can get that, I guess it could be like clove or cinnamon from the French oak, and beautiful tannin, good structure, the finish is medium, it's clean. It's not too gamey, as you often sometimes find in South Australian wines. So I really enjoyed it. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I definitely pick up sort of that minerality on the nose, sort of that graphite. As far as the charry, yeah, tip of the nose, a little bit of oak char to it.
I was getting deep in there, too. Go ahead.
And, some really lovely fruity black cherries, dark red fruit. And on the palate, absolutely just, an explosion of stewed dark red fruit, cherries.
There's some red plums.
Yeah. And then there's a little bit of spice, almost like a Mediterranean sort of. It's hard to describe. I don't know. It's not quite a cumin, but it's a sort of a Mediterranean sort of bit of a spice in the back palate. It's got a nice structure to it. It's got some really good tannin to it. This is everything you want in a good Shiraz.
I would agree, Bob. I think that it's really got all the hallmarks of a beautiful Shiraz. It's beautifully made. It's well put together. It's got this unbelievably inky, opaque color that Harm talks about. And I think that you guys are all spot on the tasting notes.
Still trying to figure out what that spice is.
It's really nice, though. It's really pleasant.
I'm saying I can't put my finger on it.
You could drink this with almost anything. Denise, what do you think?
I agree with everything all of you said. On the nose, that...
Kangaroo filet.
That's it. Kangaroo. Wallaby.
The charry oak notes, wallaby. I get more of a... I like to cook on a cedar plank, and when I pull that plank off the grill, I get this really great aroma, and that's the note that I get on the nose. I do get charred cedar.
It's char, but I don't get the cedar.
I got some cedar. All right, okay. I don't know.
There's char and cedar. I don't know if I would have called it charred cedar, but I can't argue.
On the nose or on the palate?
On the nose for me.
Okay.
On the back. Yeah. I don't know. It's
really
great spices, great cherries. It's smoky. It's woodsy. Really it's complex. It's well-rounded. It's delicious. Delicious.
Do we have a rating, kids?
We do.
And I'm with you on this. It's it definitely, when you're dealing with South Australia, sometimes you do get that little bit of gaminess to it. And this has completely avoided that. I mean,
people often look for that gaminess.
Well, depending on how it's done, you know, I mean, it can be actually really great. But this pretty much goes right around all of that. So, I'm going to have to inquire and see what else they have besides this. But we're going to be ranking the Kilcannon Covenant Shiraz 2013. Four sips.
That's classified.
All right. So let's move on to our next wine. And leaving the fine folks down in Australia, we're going to move back to America. And we're going to have talk about the Plump Jack. So the Plump Jack Winery in 1992, Gavin Newsom founded San Francisco's popular Plump Jack Wines on Fillmore Street, and the principle of making wine buying more approachable in a friendly, non-intimidating manner to transform the wine purchasing experience into something that's a little bit more fun and a little bit of discovery. In 1997, they opened their namesake winery in the heart of Napa Valley's Oakville region. And since then, the Plump Jack Group portfolio has expanded to include a diverse collection of hospitality and lifestyle businesses, including boutique hotels, award-winning wineries, restaurants, and bars, and the retail establishments, as well as the Plump Jack Development Company. So what busy we have beavers. Here is mm-hmm. the Plump Jack.
They're busy.
Yeah.
He's also governor now. He's got some pull.
That helps. Yeah.
And he's friends with other billionaires. That's how you get to Plump Jack.
Yeah, that really helps.
It's good.
Yeah. When you got a couple of billion in the bank, it helps. So
I'm a fan. I'm not saying anything bad about them. I love their wine. But go ahead, Bob.
Well, what we have here is the Plump Jack Merlot 2018, which is damn near impossible to find on their label because it's really, really tiny and mixed up in a mishmash of ink and whatever. If you don't have a map, you're not going to find it. So make sure you get a wine store that puts it on the back label.
Like I do.
It's $55 retail. The color.
Not for you, Bob. It's $110 for you.
Well, at normal stores, $55 retail. At fine spirits, $275. It's got a lovely color to it. It's a nice deep garnet. It's got a nice glow around the rim. On the nose.
It's quite young. That's that glow. It's so clear at the edges.
On the nose, I definitely pick up some blackberry. I pick up a little bit of roasted coffee and clove and a little bit of dried fruit on the palate. It's got a great mouthfeel to it. Very, very smooth, very, very silky. It's got a nice acidity to it. Bright, fresh wine. I'm picking up some cherries, I don't know, you know, like Rainier cherries, a little bit of vanilla. And on the back palate, I pick up, I don't know if it's a cocoa note or a milk chocolatey kind of note on the back palate.
Something back there.
I think
there.
It's more of a chocolate. It's not as powdery and dry. It's got a nice tannin to it. It's definitely approachable. I think it could definitely use a few more years, but it's certainly good right now. Yeah, I mean, a lovely wine. What do you think, Denise?
I'm trying to pick up on that note, that chocolatey note. Chocolate covered cherry, Luxardo cherry, yeah. Something a little.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's dark like Bing cherries sweet. Or yeah, Rainier cherries.
It's interesting.
When you say Luxardo, I think you're on it.
The Luxardo, right? Yeah, you open up a jar of Luxardo yeah. And.
Well, there is only one maraschino
this
cherry.
This is true. There is only one cherry.
Everything else is a sad
there are imitations out there that are very nice, too.
You yeah, don't they'll know. Do.
Luxardo's, I know. Anyway, this is great. Go ahead.
No, delicious. I was just trying it again.
So you get the Luxardo, you get the chocolate. What else?
I do. And on the palate, it's very fruity. I do get the blueberry pie, which is in the description.
Yeah, a lot of blueberry right? pie.
That's and a pie.
Boysenberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That boysenberry good. Comes right on through.
I haven't
right
had a boysenberry in how many years?
Oh, man. But it doesn't matter. You don't forget your first boysenberry. It's like your first
Wait
date.
Wait a minute.
That sounded a little weird.
Yeah. Sounds like a scout leader down there.
I think that's a code for something.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, Denise, you're right on. I think I found this to be very fruity. I found it to be a little bit atypical for a Merlot. I'm not necessarily a big Merlot drinker, but I thought this was really pleasant.
This is a cab drinker's Merlot.
Yes, but it's also fruity. It's a California-style fruit bomb. There's lots of fruit. I mean, the boysenberry and the blueberry pie really and cherries really dominate both the palate and the nose. I loved it. I really enjoyed it quite a lot. But as yeah, I said, it is not a typical Merlot.
It is definitely a cab drinker's Merlot. There's a lot more structure to this than I'm used to.
The other problem, you were talking about the vintage. It's young.
Well, yeah.
I want to thank the supplier, by the way, Scott Gaffney, for helping us out with these samples today. But because these are really hard to get wines. Normally, Plump Jack is something I get 12 bottles a year of, or back in the day when it was even harder to get. But since we've been such a good customer partner with them for a long time, we get bigger allocations. But I still only allow one bottle per customer to go out, especially their cab.
And we'll be back. Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we're still talking about the Plump Jack Merlot 2018.
Yeah, so anyway, before you rudely interrupt me with your crass commercial interruption there, Bob.
I like crass commercial interruption. Pays the bills.
It does.
Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
The king of crass commercial interruptions.
Mm-hmm. Those are on my Zoom things, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, before we go any further, and let me person, share the pricing.
And in person.
But at Fine Spirits, you can get this for only $52 now. And so anyway, Plump Jack is really rare wine to get. They in South Florida especially, we're on the other coast. I'm sure if you're in California, you can find it much more easily. But in Florida, it's white tablecloth restaurants only, especially when they were first released here. I mean, all the hoops we had to jump through to get Plump Jack from the supply, not the supplier, but the distributor themselves. So they make it hard to get these wines. They're great stuff. But
I agree. They're really primarily a restaurant wine.
That's a restaurant wine. It's like, and I'm used to going to Plump Jack, and, you know, going to a nice steakhouse in Dallas and ordering a bottle of Plump Jack for $200 to $250 a bottle, whereas I can sell it for
only
half
when
that.
Somebody else is paying.
Yeah, exactly. When my cousin the millionaire is paying, we let him buy that stuff. But
the successful one your mom likes to
yeah,
talk about.
That's right. Yeah, okay. The one who didn't drop.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like the fact that they also make screw caps for a lot of their wines as well. But You you want to find a $100 screw cap, Plumpjack will have it. But anyway, they came through with some good samples for us, and I really enjoy their stuff. And today's wine is a wine I have not had in a while, the Merlot, because I'll carry their cab all the time.
Yeah, most people are familiar with their cab, and I think as far as the Reds go, their cabs are phenomenal. I love their Chardonnay as well.
That's the Maury. You hit on the nail on the head. I love the Chardonnay, but nobody knows it in Florida.
Well, we don't drink it. It's okay. I'll take all you got. Merlot I've not had before from Plumpjack, and I'm pleasantly surprised today. I thought it was beautiful.
But this is a cab drinker's Merlot. So we were saying they're known for their cab. This is a heavy style Merlot, but it's so wonderfully put together. I just want to smell that again. Wow. Just all that blueberry. And I get some coffee notes in there as well. Hmm. And it's so heavy. It's mouth coating, silky. Well, actually more velvety than silky, actually. Those tannins are pretty velvety. And again, the whole point I went off on this digression about the Plumpjack is it's such a hard wine to get. And we, even though it's allocated when I sell to my customers, I don't have any older vintages of this Merlot. This 2018 was just released. So this is very young.
Won't be around for long.
It won't be around for long. Buy it, put it in your cellar, drink this 5 years from now. We're not doing it really a disservice drinking it so young. It's just
I really think it's ready to go now, but it certainly will age.
It's going
to
age much better. These wines need some time in the cellar.
Yeah.
The tannin right here is really dusty and velvety right now in this Merlot. If you give it 2 to 5 more years, it's going to get silkier and smoother and just gorgeous. Hmm. Bob, what'd you think? Did you already talk about this?
Well, I already talked about it, so.
Did I just go on too long about it?
Yeah, you just went on, but that's all right. We're used to it.
You were excited.
So we're going to give the Plumpjack Merlot 2018 4 sips.
That's classified.
All right, so moving on to our next wine, we're going to have Denise tell us about that.
All right, so we'll talk about the Odette Estate Winery. With their success at Plumpjack and Kate Estate Wineries, the partners were open to the possibility of a third winery. In the fall of 2011, an opportunity to round out their trio of wineries presented itself in the form of a historic property in the Stag's Leap District. This prime piece of land would be the future site of Odette Estate Winery. The 45-acre estate originally purchased by the Stelzner family in 1964. After purchasing the property, Richard and Christine Stelzner converted the open land to vineyards in 1970 and sold the grapes on property through their own vineyard management company. In 1977, the Stelzners realized the potential of their Stag's Leap District property and decided to make their own wine. The Stelzners would boost their annual production of their namesake label to 25,000 cases annually. But in 2012, the time had come for them to pass the torch, and the Stelzners sold the winery and surrounding vineyards to Newsom, Getty, and Conover, making the trio just the second owners to farm the vineyard. So we're going to try the Odette Estate Adaptation 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. It's from Napa Valley, aged for 18 months in 50% new oak barrels and 50% one-fill oak barrels. 85% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15% Merlot, comes in at a 14.6 ABV, and it retails for about $62. The majority of the Cabernet Sauvignon comes from Ink Grade on the backside of Bob's Mountain or Howl Mountain, which provides the framework and structure to carry this wine, along with grapes from vineyards in the Pope Valley, Stag's Leap District, and Oak Knoll. Now, this wine has a really deep, dark Bing cherry color. It's really, really beautiful. The notes for me on the nose are a very soft floral note, and I also get dried herbs. More specifically, I believe thyme and lavender. And I've come back to it 2 or 3 times just to make sure that that's what I get. And I still stick by my thyme and lavender.
I don't get the thyme, but I get the lavender.
It's definitely floral.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful nose. And on the palate for me, I get those deep, dark cherries. I still get those dried herbs, still the thyme, the lavender, and a beautiful following of espresso. It's beautiful on the palate for me. I love this wine. It's got a nice long finish. I can't really say enough about it. So I will open the table, if you will.
Oh, let me go then. Odette is very expensive wine generally. This adaptation is their second label, and a lot of people don't know it. So if you see it...
Is that really the price point on it? Because that's a beautiful price point.
What you're telling me is when I asked you to bring wines, you brought the second label, you cheap bastard.
I know. We can save the Odette for another tasting. The plump
sure cut. We'll will. Like, we'll Let me talk to
Scott.
To that
Scott,
one.
You listening, man? So, adaptation, I love adaptation because it's at this price point, it's a stunning wine. There's very few wines at this price point that I sell. They're like this good. This is outclasses a lot of them, but from California at least. There's other values in Spain and South America, but adaptation. People don't know it. They see the Odette label. $150, $200. They were ready for Odette, but adaptation tastes almost as good, and it's $62, and that's the higher price. This is after the 2016 is when they took a price increase because of the fires and all the other stuff they had to deal with. It used to be $5 cheaper or almost $10 cheaper. So this wine is a value, and the color, Denise, you're spot on. Now on the nose, I got at first, when I first put it, it's coffee and chocolate. And then it went to the black fruits and then lavender. Then I got your lavender and your, and I guess that's thyme. I couldn't really identify it. And on the palate, you were right. You're right there. The cherries, the strawberry, not strawberry, blackberry. Mm. Cherry, blackberry, forest floor. It's just a wonderful wine. And the tannins are slightly dusty. This wine could take another couple years, but it's really, really drinks well right now, fairly young. And there's a little chocolatey note coming out from the Merlot, I believe. It's just so well made. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's lovely. I mean, on the nose, I get the flowers, and I definitely get that sort of herbal.
No coffee? Am I the only one getting that coffee?
I got the espresso.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, there's definitely
a
like
a nice dark espresso.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like walking into a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And on the palate, I'm definitely getting the cherries. I'm getting the currant. Mm. And I'm getting sort of like Baker's, like that bittersweet baking chocolate toward the back of the palate. Mm-hmm. And I get a little bit of dried herbs. And like they have in their tasting notes, forest floor. And that for me, that definitely hits. It's you know, it's a lovely wine. Absolutely lovely wine.
Beautiful.
And this is their second label.
I don't like showing it with more expensive wines because, like, people, I tell you, they hear the price. This is almost as good as that one that's $200.
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and get this. And I'll sell cases of this.
Right.
Well, but I think that's a good point, as I think that there are a lot of people out there that'd be put off by the price. Mm-hmm. But if you think of this as a $200 wine, it's a bargain. Mm-hmm. At $60. And their other labels are. And so, but I think there, you know, there's a lot of people that for them, $20 is their price point, $30 is their upper limits, and they get put off by this. But I think when you drink this, this wine drinks like $100 plus to $150, $200 bottle of wine. It's a beautiful wine. It's really
well made.
It may
not be your everyday price point, but it's a value if you think of it that way.
But yeah, it's a fantastic wine. I'm really happy with this and so thrilled we got to drink it. I'd love to try it side by side with its bigger brother. I just can't say enough. I agree with everything that all you guys have said. It's just got a lot going on.
You've got
on.
The older cousin next to it, our next wine.
Yes, yeah. It's got just layers of complexity. It's not a fruit bomb. It's well balanced. It's just
if you're a French wine guy or Italian wine, it's still a fruit bomb.
Yeah.
It's still California.
Yeah,
but it's not your typical Napa Valley fruit bomb.
No, I think compared to some of the other things we've had, including what's to come, they're much fruitier. This wine is beautiful. I can't say enough good things about it. It's just, I just loved it. It was my favorite wine of the day.
Well, we're going to rate the Odette Adaptation 2016 5 sips.
Nice.
All right. Oh my, I thought I was going to have to protest to get that 5. Yeah. Yes.
I would have given it 4, but you know, I could go five.
I initial my first taste at 4 to 5, and I really think it just evolved.
It gets
beautifully
better in the glass.
It definitely evolved over the last hour in the
and
glass.
Thank you, Harmeet, for urging me to buy a bottle of this several months ago when I was in your shop. We enjoyed it very much with a meal at home. Excellent. And it was a pleasure to taste it today again.
So it goes good with Cheetos and Spam?
Yeah, you know, we didn't taste it today, but they make a petite Syrah that's pretty stunning. Ooh, as well.
That I want.
Really?
That's the one we had.
Yeah.
You had the Petite Syrah, the purple label?
Both.
Oh, that both. One I want.
Okay, I bought the Cab and the Petite Syrah. The Petite Syrah did not disappoint.
No, it doesn't at all. That's inky black like my heart. Oh, what speaking heart? Speaking of black hearts, is it the last one wine, Cade Vineyards?
Yep. What, is Joan Jett joining us? Or? That would be awesome, but I'm wondering if I need to clean up and maybe shave or something. Put on a tie.
Joan Jett, man.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't might put on a tie to for Joan Jett. She'd slap me. So, all right. Well, tell us about our last one.
Okay, our last wine today is the Cade Howell Mountain, Bob's Mountain Cabernet Sauvignon. First off, Cade Vineyards is a shared vision of Gavin Newsom, the governor, Gordon Getty, another billionaire, and John Conover. What's going on, man? All these billionaires hang out together? Imagine the addition of
is that Getty as
in we hang out together.
Oh, yeah. Gordon Getty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getty Museum.
And the
Getty Oil
Archives. And
Museum.
So this is why you get good wine like this. They're probably losing money on it. I know they're not losing money. They're making money. Okay. Anyway, the shared vision of Gavin Newsom, Gordon Getty, John Conover. Imagine the addition of a complimentary estate on the valley floor with the terroir of their Oakville to the valley floor terroir of their Oakville estate. So Plumpjack's valley floor. And they in 2005, they bought a 54-acre estate elevated high above the fog line in the dramatic slopes of the Howell Mountain, Bob's Mountain. And that became the Cade Estate Winery. Given the opportunity to build a winery from the ground up, the Newsom, Getty, and Conover were committed to constructing a state-of-the-art winery that would pay tribute to the land, both aesthetically and ecologically. The commitment would go above and beyond the standard benchmark of environmental responsibility, especially in the world of wine. The end goal to construct their first CCOF, California Certified Organic Farmers, organically farmed LEED, that's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, gold certified estate winery in Napa Valley. And if you've never been there or if you've seen pictures, it is stunning. These guys put the money in it. And it's not just for show.
Well, they have the money, so let's be fair. You know,
what comes out of it is also equally stunning. And again, sorry, gentlemen and lady, I did only bring the Cade Howell Mountain Cabernet, not the Cade Reserve, which is three times the price.
You son of...
Jeez. Yeah, the Reserve. See how we rate?
I know. So...
You're a complete bastard and we all hate you.
The Cade... Cabernet, the Howell Mountain Cab. They make, by the way, they make like five Cade wineries. There's Reserve. There's Cade Estate. There's Howell Mountain. There's Vineyard 13 or something like that. There's a bunch. So this one spends 19 months barrel aged in 100% French oak, 75% of which is new. It's 87% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Merlot, 4% Malbec, 4% Petit Verdot, and it's 15.6% ABV. It's about $105 retail. The color is stunning purple, and the nose, it's blueberries and blackberries. Chocolate and clove. The palate of this wine is to the next level. It is velvety and lush and just great, great flavors. Just the fruit comes through. I think boysenberry, black pepper. It just goes on forever. I could go on for 20 minutes, but I'm gonna let Denise go.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, on the nose, I get the leather, the cocoa, the coffee, and right at the end, that lovely little hint of mint is just fantastic. And I just like, mint julep. But not really. It's wine. So it's just wonderful. The palate is fruity. It's blueberry. It's red cherry and chocolatey. Oh, delish.
I'm going to dissent for once. We've all been in such great agreement. I love this wine.
Of course he is.
But if you're going to compare it to the predecessor, the Odette, for half the price, adaptation was way better. This to me is too sweet and too fruity.
Okay.
It is a classic California fruit bomb. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't pour it out, but too fruity.
Well, regardless, we're going to give it 4 sips.
That's classified.
It is not too fruity.
The only thing too fruity here is that guy on the end.
Mr. Fruit Bomb.
Yeah, he's definitely a
fruit I went too long with this, dude. I'm sorry. We should talk more about
that. You were excited.
It's good wine.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do us a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, or Google to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You can also interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. If you're listening to us online, it's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Denise.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob. This was wonderful.
It's not a bad day, is it?
No, it's pretty not good a job. Bad.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Loved our trip to Napa Valley.
And thank you, Arm.
Thank you, Bob. Really good to be here today. Finally, you brought good stuff.
Well, sometimes you get good stuff, sometimes you don't. Today, we have everything was great. But the good stuff, so...
It was a good day in the cellar today.
Yeah, well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Babe Bad Bob, and thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And thank God life is very long today, because there ain't a bad one on this table.
No. All good.
I'm just going to sit here and focus on my Cade Howell Mountain, because I'm like a Walton. I have my own mountain.
Yeah, so well, you should wine. Get some royalties.
Should be.
Should be your house wine.
You know what? I should show up with a shotgun and take over.
Why not?
Get off my mountain.
You know,
once California, I'll be the only one there with a shotgun. So yeah, I can pretty much run the place.
From now on, if I come
here, you'll be the king.
Mm-hmm. I expect to be served the Howell Estate wines.
Oh, you will. It's from Manischewitz.
It's from Manischewitz.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.